Got a College Station to the Lubbock pipeline working there.
Yeah, yeah.
Detron Lewis a couple of years ago.
That's right.
And played there pretty well for him.
Yeah.
Played pretty well.
Had old defensive back several years ago. His name is escaping me
Some
right now.
Some old defensive back?
Yeah. He was 72.
He's not that old.
I'm ready to play.
Yeah right. But,
put me in, coach. Yeah. Oh, my hip.
Yeah. President Obama apparently looking to a higher authority for a little help in an appearance on the D.C. side of the Key Bridge. The president said that God is on his side in his battle with the Republicans.
Really?
Yeah. Did you know that?
I never knew God was political.
Yeah, sure he is.
Of course, you know, people on the right have been trying to make God political for years.
It criticized...
Yeah.
Sorry. That's okay.
It was called for. Sure. I mean, you know, if God's on his side...
Yeah.
The Bible says if Jesus is for us, who can be against us?
Yeah. Well, if God's on his side, then why didn't the White Sox win the World Series? I'm
well,
just saying.
Well, he's not on his side.
I mean, God's got control over that, then, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah, in criticizing the GOP for approving a bill that reaffirms "In God We Trust" as the national motto, he said, "That's not putting people back to work. I trust in God, but God wants to see us help ourselves by putting people back to work." Well, wait. Help ourselves and putting people back to work? That sounds like you're trying to do something there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Help ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God says get them a job? Really?
Isn't that what they say to pretty much anybody who applies for benefits these days?
Yeah.
Help yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Very nice. Yes, yeah.
That's right. That's right. That's what you said on Halloween, too.
Oh,
here, kid, help yourself.
Yeah. So.
After all, that's all the benefits are. It's, you know, one big society of trick-or-treating. So. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Spread it out as you wish. In case you're keeping track, the GOP primary schedule's finally set.
Yes.
They're
going to have a lot more debates.
We're going to have Monday night debates.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. God, don't you wish Howard Cosell was still alive?
Oh,
that'd be so wonderful. Have him asking questions. New Hampshire is going to schedule their Republican primary on January the 10th. That's just a week after the Iowa caucuses, and South Carolina will be rounding out the month on January 21st. So that date preserves New Hampshire's tradition of holding the first primary. So I guess they were able to make nice with each other and get all that taken care of. So this Herman Cain thing seems to be kind of oozing out a little bit more, doesn't it?
Yeah, third person is showing up, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's pointing fingers, as Hermster, he's pointing fingers at Rick Perry. Says that the Perry campaign is planting the story.
Mm-hmm.
What he might mean is a guy named Kurt Anderson, if you heard Rush talking about this yesterday. Now, Kurt Anderson worked for Cain in 2004 when he ran for the Senate, and he's recently hired by the Perry campaign, so thinking he may have brought some information over there. Now, for his part, the governor has denied the charges that have been leveled by Herman Cain that his campaign was responsible. Perry said, quote, "Our campaign had nothing to do with it," end quote. So we'll see. And in an interview with the WSB radio talk show host Eric Erickson, who's also the chief architect of the website redstate.org, Perry said he found out about the story the same time everybody else did.
So, mm-hmm.
Now, at what point, or have you already gotten there, were you a backer of this guy and the paint's starting to peel? Now, or does it have to get to Monica Lewinsky level, or is there enough? And that's, you know, that's going to be a problem for people who support Herman Cain.
And yeah. It's going to be more of a problem for Republicans, because now every Republican who sounded off against Bill Clinton 10 years ago is going to have to put their money where their mouth is.
Sure.
They're going to have to put their morals where their mouth was.
Well, I don't know that this is to the level of Bill Clinton, but still.
Well, do we want to invoke a sliding scale of morality?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, is it wrong? If it's wrong, it's wrong. And if it happened and he's not going to own it, then, you know, do you hold it against him as a voter? Well, if you held it against a sitting president and said because he was disingenuous in his testimony to a grand jury and that was to the level of impeachment, then then you kind of have to you kind of have to stand. You can't have it both ways.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That has to be one or the other.
So where you have to ask yourself if it continues to rise, where is going to be the moral outrage?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At what level will you allow that?
Right.
Rahm Emanuel's name is bubbled in here.
Why?
Well, because the Restaurant Association's offices are in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, maybe he had a little something to do with moving the story along. Not exactly sure. You know, one of the things that, while we talk about decisions that people make as they prepare to run for president, Newt Gingrich. Mm-hmm. Remember Newt?
Yeah.
Newt's had some baggage, has he not?
He has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that story that we heard about the wife dying of cancer?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
She's alive.
Uh-huh.
She didn't die from cancer.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, right.
Is that news? That's news to me. I didn't know that.
Oh, no, I knew that.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But I never heard that story nearly as much as she was served papers on her deathbed while dying of cancer. Apparently his daughter has written a column about this and said that in fact Newt's first wife had requested the divorce.
Uh-huh.
And that she didn't die. So
So there's always another side.
Always another part of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
now, and that's just it. What if there's another side of this Herman Cain thing?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
and he's just trying to perhaps, I mean, just to play devil's advocate here.
Uh-huh. Right.
Let's just say that it's water under the bridge as far as he's concerned. Whether or not there was some level of true act of becoming a predator, if you will. Because when we think of sexual harassment, we think of someone being a predator and someone being
right.
a helpless victim.
Mm-hmm.
We go to opposite ends, when in fact it is rarely that.
Right. It could be just telling an off-color joke at a social function within earshot of a female coworker something like that.
It doesn't
right?
even have to be that. It
yeah.
could it could be she came on to him and he refused her advances.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, you harassed me.
Yeah.
Now it's ultimately going to be their word against his. Now, safety in numbers, a third person has come out. That doesn't look good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you either need to, and this is what the political analyst that Austin York had in the story that we just ran.
Uh-huh.
That said they need to be getting out in front of this.
Right.
Okay. You know, if there are details that could make you look better, then you need to get out there and you need to tell us what those details are. Otherwise, silence is not going to work in your benefit. And saying that it's more important for you to focus on what's in front of us instead of what's behind us because that's water under the bridge is still not going to make any of this go away.
Right. Well, Bill Clinton proved that it can be overcome. I mean, my goodness, right in the middle of his campaign, Jennifer Flowers, you know, got up in front of the cameras and said that they'd been having an affair for years, right?
Yeah. Now, there's another little detail that's come out. A guy named Steve Deese, who is a radio host in Iowa, says that Cain made awkward and inappropriate comments to two female staffers at his radio show. Deese would not elaborate on what Mr. Cain said, but Jonathan Martin, who writes for Politico, said that Cain's campaign manager, Mark Block, made a cryptic reference to the incident on Tuesday, saying, "Mr. Cain has never sexually harassed anybody, period, end of story." But the fact that now we have this guy saying that Cain made comments to the receptionist at the radio station is a little bit uncomfortable as well.
Well, he could just be some, you know, B-rated talk show host in Iowa that's trying to get his name
traction
in the trade.
True. Yeah, so we'll see how that works. All right, let's get to what's really important.
Oh, good.
Apparently Nancy Pelosi
has a new face?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
really?
I was just throwing that out.
Well, her ears ought to be touching by now.
Yeah.
The D.C. Examiner called her office to ask if she had undergone some knife work or Botox treatments.
Uh-huh.
The response from the press secretary was, "You are a disgrace to journalism."
Wow. Wow. That's a fine response.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't believe that's a denial, is it?
No.
No.
And sure enough, there's some video out there. She was on CNBC, I believe, this week. And It would appear that she doesn't wrinkle nearly as much now when she grins.
She doesn't wrinkle, she breaks, actually.
So
Just cracks.
Yeah, just want to let you know that if you want to put a fresh face on something, it looks like Nancy's already done that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
all this time we thought she just molted.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And you know, she is the best speaker we've ever had.
Oh, yeah. Now, there hasn't been much discussion about this, but there was a vote in Colorado on Tuesday that could tell us about how things are going to go next year. Voters statewide, by a whopping 64 to 36% margin, voted no on a proposition there, which was a measure to increase sales and income tax to fund education.
Oh, wow.
Again, 64 to 36% on education. And
in Colorado.
Yeah. Now, obviously, we know education is the central issue in the state representatives race that we're hearing about right now. So, and again, that's Colorado. It's not Texas. But one would think the margin in this blue state like Colorado was pretty interesting. People across the country have noticed it, and the Democrats are blaming a low voter turnout.
Of course.
Yeah.
Isn't that always the problem?
Sure.
I would have won if more voters had come out.
That's it.
Mm,
if the people who think properly had actually gone to the trouble of voting. But again, 64 to 36% was the question of increasing sales and income tax to fund education.